going to do something different. We're going to do communion, but we're going to do communion differently. And what that was for Sheila. Sheila, oh, she's. We're going to do it differently. Okay, I put my Lee on there. Here's how we're going to do it. We do communion. We're going to invite you to come down. And so we're going to go. We'll go from the back. We'll come around, and then you'll go right back to your seat, and then we'll come around. You'll go right back to your seat. Simultaneously, there'll be two people here, two people here. You can come by. Now, if, because we have walkers, wheelchairs, canes, we accept all of them in this place, we will have some people that don't necessarily want to come down. We'll get everyone served, and then we're going to come to you, okay? So you just hold your seat, chill for a minute, and we will get the elements to you. Everybody keep your elements till the end, and we're going to take communion together. There's a reason. In the Bible, there is significance to blessing. And there is significance in the Bible to the blessing of leadership. Does that mean leadership is more spiritual than somebody that's not a leader? Turn to your neighbor and go, nope, it don't mean that, okay? It's just the Lord calls, the Lord gifts, there are people in leadership. That does not mean that they are better. And I can prove it. I'm the pastor. My wife and I pray. God answers her prayers, doesn't listen to me. Okay? So that just means God's smart. No. It is not that an individual is better than someone else because they're in leadership in the body of Christ. Doesn't mean that at all. But the Lord honors and graces his own system that he set up. And so there is a significance to, and what I say is, if you can't honor the person, honor the office, because the Lord blesses offices. Does that make some manner of sense? Doesn't mean a person's better or anything like that. And here's what the Bible says. Bring the sick to the elders. Let the elders pray for them. Did that mean that the elder was more spiritual? Might not even be better than the person being that they're praying for. It's not about better or worse. Does that make sense? Am I being some kind of clear? But we've not done this in a long time. We do it a couple times a year, but we don't focus on the blessing of leadership, just being able to bless people. And it may look like it's not a big deal, but the Lord's grace can be on it. And so when we do communion this morning, we're going to have, the deacons will be down here. I'm going to be down front because I just want the blessing of being able to do this. And people come by. We just go, I just want to bless you in Jesus' name. And there are three things. I'll tell you why we're going on these three things. May the Lord bring leadership to your life. May the Lord bring healing to your life. And may the Lord bring provision to your life. I'm only one insight away from the future that God has designed for me. Sometimes things can be very difficult, and I just feel like sometimes it's not difficult at all. It's good, and I just feel like the Lord has another direction for me. Has anybody ever felt like that? Anybody in the room? Would you raise your hand so I don't feel like I'm stupid all by myself? And it's just like, I just feel like that there's something different God wants to do, and there's a leadership. Well, here's what the Bible says. We're going to go through some scripture this morning on this subject. Is there a time that a bunch of people are in a field, Jesus looks at them and he goes, you know what? They seem like sheep without a shepherd. All they need is some direction. So when I give them direction, they know where to put effort and energy. Does that make sense? There are many times in my life I go, I just want to know what God wants me to do. If I knew what God wants me to do, I'd sell the farm and the boat and everything else, and I'd go that way, but I'm just not clear on what God wants me to do. All of us have felt like that at some point. And so Jesus looks at a group of people like that. He goes, I heard a funny story about a couple weeks ago. It said a farmer is sitting on it. He's working on his fence, and he's at a crossroads, and a guy comes riding up on a horse. And the farmer looks over, and he's a farmer, and he could tell the guy is maybe not from around animals so much. And the horse is going by, and the farmer goes, where are you going? And the guy goes, you might want to ask the horse. He didn't know where he's going. He's just going where the horse was taking him. Sometimes life can grab me like that, and life's just taking me. I don't know where I'm going. And what I need is direction from the Lord to say, go this way. Well, this morning, what we want to do is when we have communion, we are in communion with the Lord, with one another, we want to say, Lord, there are people in this room that I'm asking that you would just give clear direction to. Somebody else goes, I got enough money for half the month. But then the other half comes. And it goes, I just need, sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's other things, I just need provision from the Lord. Well, in the story we're going to look at today, the Lord looks at a bunch of people and he goes, some of y'all need direction. Let me give you some direction. Some of y'all need provision. Because Jesus from the south, he says, y'all, he goes, some of y'all just need provision. And some of us are in both boats. Okay? And then other people may need healing. And so in the story we look at, it says Jesus had compassion. That's amazing. Jesus is motivated by affection for you. That ought to blow your gasket up here. The God of the universe is motivated by affection for me. He has compassion. Same yesterday, today, and forever. His compassion led him to just give some people direction, give other people provision, and other people he released healing on. And so this morning, we'll take communion, do it a little differently. Instead of us passing it out, we're going to ask for you to come. We'll do it in an orderly manner. You can make a circle and go back to your perspective seat. And if you go, I really don't want to walk down this morning, or you just don't want to walk down, you just want to sit where you are, that's fine. At the end, when we get everybody served, we'll make sure that you get elements also, and then we'll wait on our deacons to lead us as we take communion together. Is that clear as mud? If you don't know what to do, just find a smart-looking woman, follow her, she'll know what to do. Okay, good. A couple weeks ago, I talked about something. I'm going to parallel it, but a couple weeks ago, we talked about Paul being in prison. He's in stocks. He's been beaten, and circumstances in life are bad. It's dark out. He's in the bottom of the jail, and the only thing that he did, I've heard people say this before, the only thing I know to do is pray. And I go, well, that is a good place to be, because the prayer is the first most important thing you do. And when I have all kinds of options, sometimes I'll do my option before I pray. Amen. But then I'll hear somebody go, only thing I know to do is pray. And I go, okay, you're in a good place right now. Because here's what I know. I can pray a stupid prayer and God will give a smart answer. I can pray a little prayer and God will give a big answer. I don't know what to pray and God knows how to answer. And so it's not about me praying. It is about the answerer who answers. Okay, and then we talked about that little prayer that Paul prayed in the bottom of that prison had a ripple effect. The ripple effect was, first of all, it touched the jailer. You remember we talked about that? Now the jailer's heart is touched, and he is open to the Lord. What must I do to be saved? And then they go to the jailer's house and the jailer's family. We're going to talk about that word in just a few minutes. The jailer's family is a word that's unique in Hebrew. In language and in concept. That word means all those in your house. And that might mean your cousin and them. It might mean, so when it says his house, it might be his kids, but he might have had a brother that died, and when that brother dies, he becomes responsible for them. There might be a widow. His sister might be a widow. He becomes responsible for her. So all those in his house doesn't necessarily mean just he and his children. It means all those you're responsible for. So let me tell you about a good family revival in the book of Acts. Paul prays a simple prayer. That's boom. Then there's a ripple of a jailer hears it. That's the second ripple. Third ripple is Paul goes and preaches the gospel at the jailer's house, and everybody in his family comes to Christ. The next ripple is there's a church there called the Philippian church. Paul, in another jail in Rome, Paul was great. He visited every jail. He's the greatest jail ministry in the history of the world. He visited every jail and towns he was around, right? He gets put in jail. He's in a Roman prison, and he writes a letter to the Philippians that has reverberated throughout the nations of the earth for 2,000 years. And so what we talked about is you just pray your simple prayer and trust God to bring the ripple. right? And today we're going to look at that same concept, but we're going to look at the concept from you give the simple blessing and trust that God can give the ripple, okay? And I'm going to do that from John chapter 6. I'm going to have you go there, and I'm going to go slowly through about three or four verses. And it's a common story. You know the story, but I want to go deep, a little bit deeper, because I'm going to look at some words, original was written in, and some context, some cultural context that will make it mean just a little bit more sense. Anybody ever heard about the feeding of the 5,000? You've read that one in the Bible. That's what we're going to look at. When we get there, I'm going to run right through it, but I want to show you how that connects to what we're doing this morning, okay? And when we read about the feeding of the 5,000, we're going to read from John, but in Luke, Jesus prays a prayer in Luke. John doesn't go deep into the prayer the logistic of the way Jesus does it. Luke does. And here's what Luke says. He takes the bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he hands it to the disciples. That is the feeding of the 5,000 in the book of Luke. And I have them up there, but I'm going to go quickly. I'm not going to look them up in the scripture. In Luke, that's in Luke 9. In Luke 22, when he institutes the Lord's Supper, it says he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples. If you were to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, after Jesus resurrects, he goes to the Apostle Paul. He tells the Apostle Paul about the instituting of communion. And when he talks to the Apostle Paul, here's what Paul writes down. He took it, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples. So, in the feeding of the 5,000, you see this overarching picture that Jesus takes a small bit of bread and feeds the multitudes, and later he interprets it and he goes, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. I am bread for humanity or for the nations. Okay, so you see this picture that in the breaking of the body of Christ, you have the fulfillment of salvation for all of the multitudes of the nations of the earth. Does that make sense? And so, in that, Molly and I actually were talking about it a couple weeks ago. She reads through this and she goes, this is very interesting to me, because what had happened is, anybody remember John the Baptist in the Bible? Remember that guy? What's his relationship to Jesus? Jesus' cousin, which would have meant his playmate. I don't know if you grew up like I did, but there were some cousins that were some playmates. His cousin, his playmate, his ministry partner. And in the overall scope of things, the man that God has chosen and sent to be the forerunner of the Messiah. So anybody think Jesus and John might have been close? John gets murdered by Herod. Jesus gets the word that John, his cousin, playmate, childhood playmate, lifelong friend, ministry partner, the guy that has baptized him, Jesus gets the word he has been murdered. What do you think that made Jesus feel like? Yeah, all of a sudden, suddenly, you don't know that, then you get the word, and he has loss, he is mourning, and he tries to get away from people. You ever mourn, try to get away from people? He's trying to get away from people. When he tries to get away from people, somebody goes, there's Jesus, he's walking around the lake. By the time he gets over there, this crowd of 5,000, we'll talk about in a minute, is over there waiting for him. They had his cell phone number, and they tracked him down. They sent him Facebook messages. He's on Messenger. And Jesus can't get away just to mourn. And here comes the crowd. And the Bible says he looked on them, and he felt something in his heart. not for his own hurt. He felt something in his heart for their lack. And he goes, some of them need direction. Some of them need healing. And they haven't eaten for 3 days. All of them need a meal. They need provision. And so Jesus and the disciples are there. People have been following him, listening to him. He's been healing their sick. And now everybody realizes they're hungry. And that's where we pick up on the story. There was a little boy. Does anybody remember what the little boy had? Here we go. Verse 9 of John 6. There's a young boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Now let me help you out culturally with what that was. That was a Lunchable. It was a Happy Meal minus the toy. Okay? The amount of food that that kid had would fit in a sandwich bag. The barley loaves is poor people food, but it is like probably about, what are those things you used to get from Long John Silver's that are fried cornmeal? It's a little bit bigger than a hush puppy. So he has 5 hush puppies and 2 sardines. That wasn't a big crappie like Larry catches. That word about the 2 fish is some small, either semi-dried or dried fish. No Walmart available. Couldn't go down to Captain D's. What has happened a couple of days ago is this kid's mom has put in a sandwich bag 5 hush puppies and 2 sardines. Does that, are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, the kid has not read this scripture. Every time you read, the kid hands the sandwich to Jesus, you already know the rest of the story. You've never not known the end when you read at the beginning. The kid had never read the end of the story. All the kid knew was he has a couple of bites of food. Either he's going to eat it or Jesus is going to eat it. And he's giving all that he has to Jesus without expectation of return. Now, that changes the story a little bit. All of a sudden, in a crowd of 5,000, we're going to touch that in just a minute, in a crowd of 5,000, one kid goes, I want to give my life to Christ. I will give you everything I have at this moment, and I put it in your hand. Now let me help us this morning. A little is a lot when it is given to Jesus. It becomes more when all the strings are cut, and it is, I am giving without reservation what I have to the Lord. Now here's what I'm going to encourage us with. Do the blessing, give the gift, pray the prayer, give the encouragement, do the little thing you can to help somebody, bless them without expectation of return, saying, I am giving this as unto the Lord. Here you go. My hands are now off it. Give the gift and trust the ripple. Okay? Let's see what happens. Now, okay, let's just walk through it. There's a lad, 5 barley loaves, 2 fish. Jesus said, make the people sit down. Luke and Matthew is a Jew. He understands, so he writes like a Jew. And he says, have the people sit down according to company. Now let me show you company. Jerry is company. Jerry, when it says 5,000 men, 5,000 men, the word men means head of household. Jerry is company. How many kids you got, Jerry? Jerry's four kids, if three of them were there, two of them are there, all four of them are there, Jerry's four kids would sit down behind Jerry. That's why it says according to company. How many grandkids, Jerry? 14 grandkids behind four children that would sit behind the head of the household. How many great-grandchildren? Can you count that high? Five. Okay, now watch. When you read in the Bible, okay, let's get fun. Your grandpa's name. How many kids did he have? How many wives did they have? Okay? Okay, yeah. We're going to get into some math now because we're going to go downy. All right? Now watch. His grandfather would be head of household. If you said Jerry is head of household, his grandfather is head of household, how many people are there? It's called First Baptist Church of Hope, Indiana. How many people are there when you say two heads of household? Bowdy, head of household. Give me another big name in the area. Shove. Oh my goodness. Now watch it. Shof, Downey are head of household. If there's any Shof or any Downey that is in the group, when the disciples said, sit down according to company, they said, sit down according to head of household. We're just talking about Hope. If there were 5,000 heads of household, how many people were there? If each head of household only had four, there were 20,000 people there. So you read 5,000, Jesus fed 5,000 with a happy meal, you go, that's amazing. And I go, let me show you it's more amazinger than that. It's bigger than you thought. Come on. Because what that kid handed Jesus could fit in a sandwich bag. He handed him barley loaves were about like that. They were made out of barley. Barley was cheaper than wheat. It was poor people food. It was hard, not soft. It was not deliciouser. The better was the wheat that the people that were more prominent had. But if you haven't eaten in 3 days, I have a friend whose dad escaped from the Germans in a POW camp, walked across France in the middle of the night, was almost killed by the Americans when he broke into an American camp because they see this skinny guy with German clothes on walking in, and he made it in, and he made it home. And years later, anybody that would say, I don't like that, he would say, you just haven't been hungry yet. Huh? Now, even the rich people gonna eat barley loaf when you haven't eaten for a minute. Everybody's hungry. Anybody say teenager? Put hungry plus teenager, what do you get? I'm not playing. How many of them? Not 5,000, that's heads of household. Let me see how much of a miracle worker you are when you head over to the Downies on the Downey Sunday, walk in there with a happy meal, and see how many teenage boys beat you up. Because they go, I can eat five happy meals. guy, yeah, a little guy right here, first time I met him. Huh? He was like four, I don't know, six, something like that. Kid ate six hot dogs. Let's make it real for a minute. This is a crowd of teenage young men that have not eaten, and Jesus has a happy meal. I'm going to make two statements. The second one I mean to be shocking. Number one is, little is much in Jesus' hands. Now here's going to be the real point of the whole thing. I'm going to show it to you in Scripture. Little is much in your hand when Jesus blesses you. Little is much in his hand, but little is much in your hand when Jesus blesses you. Somebody's read the Bible. At the end of this, everybody eats. Everybody eats. All, I think there are 20 to 25,000 people. About half as much as shows up at Heritage Days. 20 to 25,000 people. Half of Columbus has eaten all they can hold. And Jesus gets on the microphone. That's another interesting one, because the Bible says he was preaching by a lake in a field. Why would he do that? Because he's smart and he created lakes and fields. And he knows that lakes, that water will reflect sound. And so without a microphone, he is speaking to 25,000 people. They are hearing him. Jesus gets back up on the mic while people are eating. Don't waste anything. When you get done eating, pass it to the head of the household. He already has the organization and system. What's the system or organization of the kingdom of God? Starts with an F and ends with a Lee. Family. Family is the kingdom of God is a family. And if you don't have a family, God says, you come on into mine. I will set in families those who don't have one. That's what the church is. If for people who don't have family, come here. You can get in the organizational system of God. Everybody on the earth has the same dad. Jesus doesn't have any stepchildren or grandchildren. Everybody comes in at the same level. He goes, I have an organizational system called family. We will sit down according to heads of household. When you're done eating, take what you have left and give it to your granddaddy, daddy, uncle, whoever it is. The disciples go to the granddaddies, daddies, and uncles and come back with what? Who's read the Bible? 12 what? That word basket is a word called kofino in Greek. And it means a lunch basket. How many baskets are in the story? 12. There's only kind there are. There are no other kind of baskets. There's only 12 baskets. Does that make sense? And it is kofino or a lunchbox. Let me show you the story. Maybe you've never read it like this before, but it is clear as day in the Bible. The kid, we'll read it, boy, make the people sit down in companies. There was much grass in the place. Men sat down. Heads of household sat down. Number 5,000 heads of household. Jesus took the loaves when he had given thanks. He did what? Distributed them to the disciples and the disciples to those sitting down. There never was a warehouse. Let me make that sense. We're going to have, I get to be Jesus. Thank you. Lucas is going to be a disciple. What disciple you want Lucas to be? Peter, James, John. John. Lucas gets to be John. Come on up, Lucas. You be John. The only thing there are lunch boxes, kofinos. Jesus has sandwich bags. He breaks five fish, five loaves, two fish, puts them in Lucas' basket. Peter, James, how many guys were there? 12. He puts, Lucas goes to his area. Go to your area, Lucas. Lucas begins breaking what Jesus put in his basket. Here's what I want you to see. Jesus gave out 12 baskets. From Lucas's lunchbox, he fed 2,000 people. I ain't playing. This is the Bible. Jesus broke it. It does not say anybody ever came back to Jesus. There were no storehouses, trucks, or baskets anywhere. The way I've heard people preach this is Jesus is breaking in his hand food for 5,000 people. That is not in the Bible. Jesus broke for 12 people. The 12 people went to each one of them. There are 25,000 people. Each one of them, if you get past third grade math, you're going to trick me. Up to third grade, I'm okay. If there are 12 guys and there's 25,000 people, there are 2,000 and some that Lucas, Andrew, Peter, James, John fed 2,000 people from a lunchbox. Question: where did the biggest miracle happen? In the hands of the disciples when Jesus blessed something and handed it back to them. See, little is much in the hands of Jesus. Sandwich bag to 12 baskets. Somebody say, that's a pretty good miracle. Sandwich bag to 12 baskets. What's the bigger miracle? 12 baskets to 25,000 people. The miracle was happening while they were breaking the bread and the fish and handing it to the people. Little is much in Jesus' hand. Little is much in your hand when Jesus has blessed it. Okay, end of the day. 20,000 fed. Even there, here's the biggest miracle. I call it the hidden miracle in this story. Is there were teenage boys that said, I'm full. I've never seen that happen. I raised two all the way. I had two more around my house. I have never seen a young man said, I'm full. They stop because they have honor for other people. But in a minute, they'll be back at the refrigerator to get the result. Okay, 20,000. Then what do they do with the leftovers? Hand it to heads of household. The disciples come by the hands of household and they take what's left over and they come to Jesus. And how many baskets were left over? Oh, Tina, listen. They end at the end of the day with what they started with. They never lost a thing. It was all of the people that are blessed because of what Jesus did when he blessed what they were doing. Come on. And now 2,000 people are fed and they have the same lunchbox that they left with. Watch this. A kid gives it to Jesus. Jesus gives it to the disciples. The disciples give it to the people. The people give it back to the disciples because one kid gave everything. to Jesus, not knowing the rest of the story. So how about today, at communion with the Lord, that we just say, Lord, I'll say my little prayer, trust your grace to control the ripple. Lord, I'll just give what little blessing I can give, trust your grace to control the ripple. Lord, I need insight. I need provision. I need healing. I trust your compassion and your power to interact with me when I come to the table of the Lord. I'd like to pray for you. In a moment, we're going to do communion. We'll do it a little bit differently this morning. And then our deacons will come after I pray. Father, I bless you. I thank you for your goodness. You're amazing everywhere all the time. When I read this on the cursory, I just read it glancing over. I go, that's amazing. And when I go deeper, I go, that's more amazing still. And I become challenged. Sometimes I just think my little's not enough. I want to be challenged, and we want to be challenged to give our little to you. Without strings attached, you just speak, we obey. Father, we want to pray right now for those in this room that will gather around this table in a bit, that you would impart revelation knowledge. You said you have compassion on those who need a shepherd. They need direction. And we pray that you would release that direction this morning. Father, we stand before you in humility, crying out to you, asking that provision that is needed, that you would release. We need healing, body, soul, spirit, and you're the healer. We come to a broken body. We come to shed blood that can forgive all our sins, heal all our diseases, redeem us from all destruction. We ask that you would bless, impart, and give in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
So if you know me well at all, you know I'm a man of few words sometimes. I like to keep things simple. I don't like to overcomplicate things, especially if they don't need to be. Jesus, on the other